I'd like to call this meeting order for the February Town Council. First off, if everybody would please silence their cell phones. After that, I will explain the next two items on the agenda. First, we rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. After that will be the invocation by Mr. Brian Miles. If during the invocation you would like to leave, you're uncomfortable, would like to leave or sit, you may. If you do wish to leave, after the invocation is over with, Chief Shiflett will go and get you and bring you back into the building for, or into the room for the remainder of the meeting. So if you all sit.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We all join me in prayer, and you're welcome to sit. It's okay. Lord of all creation, you are present with us from the time we open our eyes until the time we go to sleep. And you are present with us now. We give you thanks for this evening, for this time to come together and work for the good of Amherst. We give you thanks for all those present who put their lives on the line to protect us, for those who serve selflessly and with devotion. I ask especially that you will protect each one of them, keep all of us from harm's way, and shield us from hurt. Lord, bless this meeting now. Be with us, be with this council as they make decisions. May you guide them in thought, word, and deed. May we remember that you are present, and may we remember that your love is for all. For we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you. You're more welcome to stay.
I want to hear what's going to happen.
There you go. All righty then. Next item, Chief Shiflett, the floor is yours.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of council. Can I take a few minutes here to share a little bit, give you a little bit of insight of what's been going on in the last year? Ward night, but wanted to give you a little bit of background on some of the accomplishments we've been able to do this past year. I know we're a month behind. The building kind of put us a little bit behind on some things, but I've got some totals from last year that I want to share with you guys to kind of give you an idea as to what we were able to do. Last year, our department answered almost 3,000 calls for service, which is a lot for a small department. Department I came from before, probably about 1,000 calls more. Got the same amount of officers. Comes a whole lot. These guys right here are a huge asset to this town. I can't say enough of good things about them. It's only fair to me come publicly and let you guys know that you guys ought to be proud of what you got here. We've all worked hard this year. Each one of these guys has stepped up to the plate. We've had a lot going on. And just want to give you a little rundown on each officer, on some of the things we were able to do. Major Harler is my number two guy. I could not ask for a better person. Very dedicated to the job, to the profession, and to his fellow employees. Comes to work every day. We have had some major challenges in this 2 years that I've been here. But we've been able to reach the goals that I set for him. And he's been a very good team player and a very good co-worker to work with. I couldn't ask for a better person. Thank you publicly for all you've done. I also wish you happy birthday. He's getting a couple of days off, so. Investigator Watts, this past year, one of the biggest things I'm proud of him is he's decided to go back and get his bachelor's degree from Liberty University. He has, he's got future goals, that they all do, and we sat down, we talked, and we all agreed that it's time to start, all of them, to start reaching forward what they want to do this point, I'm very pleased how far we've come and what we've achieved. He's also, you know, we had a funny story I'll share with you guys some other time, where we were able to go to asset forfeiture class together down in Virginia Beach. And we were very, Tracy was there as well, very informative class on learning the process of that. I had been to one a long time ago, but a lot of things have changed to that point. But he was able to go to that. We now have a ICAC, it's an Internet Crimes Against Children representative now. Watts went to that school issue. So he's also reached another goal. He reached his general instructors, and he's also got his apprenticeship done. So that's a lot to do in 1 year, plus holding down doing the investigative details for this department. Worked on a lot of cases, saw quite a few. We've got ways to go, and he's also going tomorrow, if I'm correct, to do his interview for a forensic science group. So that's a huge bonus for him. Done an outstanding job this year. Brandon, can't say enough about this young man. He's really, he stepped up to the plate. He has saved this town a pile of money. He has been an instrumental part in our department as far as doing all of our computer work, our IT stuff. Very reliable. I can call him at any moment. His day's off. He's come in to help us solve problems and issues throughout the year. I can't thank him enough. Been great. Plus, a good officer. Does his job. He's your door checker. He's out here riding these parking lots, checking these businesses when the lights go out. He's your guy making sure these places are secure. Officer Robinson, been a very, can't say enough about this young man. This guy here is, he stepped up to the plate, been a very good officer. Last year, he received the Officer of the Year Award. And deservedly so. He leads the department in just about every statistic that we had. He was able to go this year and get state certified as a gang specialist. So we now have a gang specialist in our department. All these, a lot of these, you know, these guys are, they've been in this profession quite a bit. And going back and looking at all the records, it's been a long time since we've had a department that's been being educated to where we are. And I thank you guys for making that happen. Very instrumental in schools. He takes it upon himself, which I want all of them to do. They do it. But this guy here goes to the schools. He's been in there when the kids have issues. He's met with them one-on-one. He's met with the counselors when this kid has issues. And he's talked with them, and he's worked through a lot of issues. I've gotten a pile of letters from Dante, from the citizens in this town, and folks from out of town, when he stopped to help on the side of the road. You know, his professionalism is, you know, this tops. So I do thank you, appreciate you. So we're in right here. How long have you been here now? A year?
Almost a year and a half.
Almost a year and a half. I can't say enough about him. He has stepped up to the plate. He was thrown to the wolves. Luckily, he did have some law enforcement experience behind him. But he stepped into our family last year and a half ago, and he has done a wonderful job for us. I'm proud of him. He achieved his master's last year. He's now at a CIT, which is a huge. Dylan, maybe you can explain a little bit more about it, but he's received a certificate in that, and he's also received your instructor's certificate in that as well. So he can now teach that course. And he also achieved his general instructor, and he's on his way to get his apprenticeship.
What does CIP stand for?
It's a crime,
crisis crime intervention.
Yes. Okay. I got it myself. But every one of these guys, eventually, they look at me like, oh my goodness, but that's the sign of the times. We've got to get that certification, and eventually every one of them will have it. But he's done one thing I'd like to point out about this young man was I received a letter back, I was back sometime, no, maybe on Christmas or sometime, from another agency telling me about what this guy, this officer, had done. Somebody. And it kind of set me back. I was like, wow, that's going above and beyond. He
he had a homeless person, which he reached out, took his own money and bought him food and took care of him, gave him a ride, got him set up. Made me really proud. You know, it was really a touching moment for me. And I was happy that we had an officer that would step up to do that. Now, we all do certain things at times, but, you know, that's good stuff. Sorry. So that's pretty much all we did as far as training-wise, but every one of these guys stepped up to the plate when we moved into this building over here. This was a monumental task, all made possible by members of council. I don't think some folks realize the importance of having your own place you can call home. It was tough here. 2 years here, and you know, I understood that. We were building, and we're still building, but we've got the building blocks now to get what we need to make this department what it needs to be. Every one of these guys stepped in, helped us move. We didn't ask nobody for any help. We did it ourselves. And I want to commend all of them for what they did. It was quite a job. And you know, we had some tough times and hard times throughout the process, but we got through it and we worked through it. And we got something now we can be proud of, and you guys should be proud of. Every one of them. We thank you. I think they're here today to tell you that they're happy.
Chief, I want to comment on something. I think I've told you this before. And this is due in no small part to this council and to the people that work for you. But in two and a half years, you've accomplished more than I did in 18 years and the two chiefs passing. And I commend you that you've worked hard to get to where you are.
We all have.
And I think this council's proven that they're behind you 100%.
Absolutely, and I do appreciate it.
Thank you for what you do.
Thank you. So, to get back to, you know, to why we're here, and the main, this was a huge decision that I had to make this year, and I don't take this decision lightly at all, because it is an award that, one way or another, every one of these guys here deserves. And I went back and forth. I went in there and I sat in with the major. We went back and forth. And it was really close this year. I mean, every one of these guys have done something or to make it what it needs to be. And up until the day I was driving over there to get this thing done, my mind was back and forth, back and forth. So I sat down with them before I went over there to talk to the guys who I was narrowing it down to. And I asked them each, if you were given this opportunity to pick, who would you pick? And they picked each other. So I said, thanks. Appreciate your help with that. But they both opened my eyes to what, you know, they saw what I had been seeing throughout this whole year. And, you know, when I give this award, this name goes on the wall over there forever. And it's something that every one of them should try to achieve the gift. It's not you do good for a week, you do good for a couple weeks, and then 3 weeks we slap off. It's tough. It's a tough profession. These guys go out every day to protect you guys and put their life on the line. It's a scary time for us. And that's put in mind. You know, we try to do the best we can, and they do. They do a very good professional job. I can't say it enough. So, that being said, it was tough, but Officer of the Year, Dante Robinson. And this, you know, in giving this award, you know, it's not something, well, you know, we pick somebody who, you know, it's really tough. It's a tough decision for me. It really was. I mean, it really was. It weighed heavy on me. But in giving this award, you truly deserve it. So, appreciate it.
I'll start off by saying thank you to you all for that office. It's a great thing for us. I mean, we got a home now. We can go back to play. So you're supposed to find a friendly face if you're not a good speaker. So, so thank you all for that. Yeah, I got a big mouth, but it's still hard speaking in front of people. It's an honor to receive this again. These guys, we all work hard together. Whenever I got questions, I can count on any of them to answer. And really, the main thing is it's really easy to work hard when somebody's working for you. And Greg and Chief, I mean, they work for us all the time. As you can see, Chief's been working for us since he got here, so he makes it very easy to work hard for him. So thank you all. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your help. I appreciate it.
You need to think of man in the back. All right, moving on. Chief, thank you again. And citizens' comments, we have none, so we'll move on to the next. Consent agenda. Everybody has had an opportunity to review the minutes from the last meeting. Is there any corrections or anything like that? If there's not, I will entertain a motion to accept the minutes from last month's meeting.
I'll make a motion that we accept the minutes as presented.
A motion from Ms. Carton, have a second.
I'll second.
I have a second from Mr. Bunch. Is there any discussion on that? If no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Abstain.
Is opposed? I hadn't got to that yet.
No, I got to.
So, all right. 4-0-1. Or 4-0-0-1. Next item, the staff reports are all attached. Is there any questions for any of the on any of the staff reports? If it's not, we will move on, and then if you come up with one, we need it when we get to the matters from staff. Okay. Next item is the committee's Ms. Carton.
Oh. Sorry. the Finance Committee, we did not have a meeting between this period. No, okay. Nothing to report, sorry.
Ms. Ogden.
The Community Relations Committee did meet. I don't really have much to add to what is has been presented in the minutes.
Okay. Everybody had a chance to review the minutes. One of the main reasons for it coming together was the leash law. And once that gets reviewed by the town attorney and stuff, it will be brought back to council.
I have a question if it's the proper time to bring about that leash law. Or should we wait until it comes before council?
I would wait before it comes because it needs to be reviewed and set up. And if you have something, if you have a suggestion or something to that effect, you can pass it on to an email to Ms. Carter and she can relay it to Mr. Barrett.
That's right.
So you can just do it like that for the...
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
Mrs. Ogden, did you want to have this go for public hearing next month, or would you like the committee to have another opportunity to review it?
As long as Mr. Barry doesn't have anything to change, this will just
When the committee met, we had talked about going ahead and going for public hearing in March with the idea of, you know, then if there is citizen input, not with the idea that we would necessarily close it out in March, but give people an opportunity to review it and speak to it so that, you know, if there's any comments, we can gather those and respond appropriately to them.
Right. I guess if Mr. Barrett brings whatever comments to us.
Yes, we can get him to review that. So there's a draft that was included in the packet, so we can send that over. Obviously, you got the packet, so we can make sure that he gets that reviewed in a timely fashion for next month, if y'all would like to still do that.
So would you like to set up a report for next month?
Sure.
Okay, then would you like to make the motion to set a public hearing?
I will make the motion to set the public hearing.
Okay, do I have a motion from Ms. Ogden? Do we have a second?
Not second.
Second from Ms. Carton. Is there any discussion? Is there discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Is opposed? 5-0. Utilities Committee, Mr. Locks?
No meeting to report.
While I'm on the committees, instead of waiting for matters from council, we have discussed on and off the outdated staff, particularly Ms. Carter's evaluation. When we gave her the evaluation this year, there were a few items on the evaluation that does not apply any longer. It was out of date. It needed work. So I would like to appoint an ad hoc committee in the next couple of months. We'll be able to present us with a new staff evaluation. I'd like Mr. Bunch to be chairman. He has accepted it, and Ms. Carton, at which time after they do it, they will bring it before council. So I'm looking for a motion to accept these two on the ad hoc committee to review and revise the staff evaluation. The motion from Ms. Ogden. Do I have a second?
A second.
A second from Mr. Watts. Is there any discussion?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Sarah is an employee and has evaluation. Is that correct?
Yes.
What about Mr. Barrett? He's considered an employee. Does he have evaluation as well?
He.
And when have they been done?
Almost buried.
Not since I've been.
Yeah, done. I don't think we have done one. That was one of the other reasons for getting this done, is we can try to incorporate all of them
into his contract.
Into his contract.
Does that go into a contract?
His contract is renewed every 2 years.
Okay, and I've seen it, but I didn't see where he has a part about having to have that done.
Well, that's we're gonna add that. We had discussed that when we were talking about redoing the evaluation.
Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? 5-0-0. Congratulations, Mr. Bunch and Ms. Carton.
Thanks.
Go forward. Other reports. Planning Commission met last week. Any highlights, Ms. Carter?
The site plan approval for the Amherst Milling Company, Trapezium Brewing, has been approved. They needed to have a revision for their waterline location. At this point, we feel strongly that they have everything they need to be able to move pretty quickly. They had contractors on site trying to put the waterline in their original location. So, I mean, they're out there trying to get things done, and then they realized that the location they had proposed was not going to work. So they now have a proposed location that we feel strongly is going to work. It's been approved. The Planning Commission also has made a motion to hold their public hearing on the capital improvement program. So that will be proceeding as well.
Okay. And while we're on Mr. McCormick, he has asked for another extension due to extenuating circumstances, where his building in Bedford burned, which has kind of kept him and really I personally don't see an issue, because there's, you know, he can do whatever he wants, but he can't, so
nothing's going to change.
So I would just like a consensus that we'll just move it on to next month, and hopefully his fire and everything will have slowed down some. Because when I saw that, I figured that I knew that was coming. And as a matter of fact, I was going to send a word to tell him take care of that first. Because you know, when the building burned down, that kind of caused an issue. I'm sure. So we would just move that on to next month unless anybody has an objection. Anything of significance from the IDA or the Robert E. Lee water?
There are items from the IDA further in your agenda.
Okay. We should have got Brandon about the property lease, and see, isn't he on that now?
Yes, he is.
We should have held him in here and got him to talk about that. We'll do that next month, so you make sure that he's working this evening, that evening, so he can explain that.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Wright.
In June of last year, we had a pretty significant storm that did some lightning damage at the wastewater treatment plant. It brought some special computer equipment and communication equipment that was needed down there. Between the IT services and the new equipment to get everything back the way it needed to be, we had to spend a little over $6,000 out of the equipment and repairs line item for wastewater plant. That was a successful insurance claim through DML, and after our $1,000 deductible in September, they did submit a check to us for reimbursement for a little over $5,500. So I'm just asking for appropriation of that fund that was refunded to us so that Gary can probably start spending it again.
So you're asking the money go back into the...
The wastewater treatment.
Okay. I'll make that motion.
Okay. We have a motion from Mr. Watts, second from Ms. Carton. This will be a roll call.
Mr. Bones.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought both of you said it.
It's my turn.
Oh, it's your turn. Okay. Second from Mr. Bunch. We're all good. This will be a roll call vote. Ms. Wheaton.
Aye. Yes.
Mr. Watts.
Aye.
Ms. Ivy.
Aye.
Ms. Carton.
Aye.
Okay, now you can speak. Mr. Bunch.
Aye.
And that is 5-0-0. Thank you, Ms. Wright. Ms. Carter.
We had our bid opening for the USDA sewer slip lining project on Monday. It was a fairly successful bid opening on the, there were two parts to it. One is the line work and one is the work at the wastewater treatment plant and the 60 West pump station. The bids do add up to more than what the USDA project amount is. We had anticipated that happening. We don't know what USDA is going to do that. There is a do with it. There's a possibility they may look at our package and give us more grant money. There's a possibility they may come back to us and say, fit what you pick your items and fit it in the amount you have. We don't know yet. So we'll submit all that to them. We had four bids on the line work, three on the wastewater treatment plant. Improvements. The line work bid was in excess of $3 million, and the difference between the first and second bidder was $14,000. That is about as close as bids get. On the wastewater treatment plant, you were looking at about $1.5 million, and the difference between the first and second bidder was around $30,000. So we got good bid responses back. And what I'd like council to do, because we're trying to work on the time frame of making sure we close by the end of March, the reduced interest rate that USDA has promised us, the 1.625 rate, we have to close by March 31st in order to do that. So Herb White is working on getting all the bid package information together, and I would just like to ask for a motion from council. Our policy is not super clear about award of bids. So when in general, obviously we award to the low bidder, but typically we would be bringing that back to council and then asking you to do it. What I'd like to do is ask y'all just to authorize me to award that based on the engineer's recommendation and the low bid. Just to make it clean, because our procurement policy doesn't say that, but we in practice do that.
Okay, based on that, I look for a motion to authorize staff to award the bids in this upcoming project. Motion. Mm-hmm. A motion from Ms. Carton.
It's her turn.
A second. Can you, Mr. Watts,
yes,
second? Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No. Opposed.
4-1-0. Next is considering updates to the fund balance policy. Back to you, Ms. Clark.
So one of the things is the IDA is talking about what they would like to do in reference to expenditures that in their line that's coming from all of the Dominion proceeds. One of the first things that they wanted to do is actually add in some language that talked about maintaining a balance. So, yes, they would like to recommend that council do spend some money on improvements, but at the same time, we've never put any kind of contingency fund or anything that to say there's an amount that we're trying to maintain. And we do that in all of our other funds. So our other funds have a fund balance policy. What I'm asking for, what the IDA is really asking for, is an addition to that fund balance policy that puts in place a $200,000, and we don't even call it a reserve because it's for the purpose of expenditure for a project. But instead of that being spent on improvements and just in general, to save it for a specific project should you ever need it to kind of balance an economic development equation. Mm-hmm. So the policy is within your packet and includes that language.
And this came from, this was a request from IDA to bring?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so I'll entertain a motion for the update to the policy that Ms. Carter just presented.
I'll make that motion.
Motion from Ms. Carter. And a second from Mr. Bunch. Is there any discussion? No discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
410. The next is the amendment to the comprehensive plan. We've already discussed that, so we will move on and we will skip that because that was from Mr. McCorn. Number five is authorize the ADA recommended expenditures. Ms. Clark?
So at their February meeting, I had presented to them a whole list of different options and ideas that, you know, had been discussed over time. And I did include that broader memo just to keep council in tune with the different items that had been discussed. But what the IDA would like in the immediate term is an appropriation of funds from their budget. So again, at this point, they're sitting on a pretty substantial balance within their fund. Over $400,000, and they would like to ask council to appropriate $5,000 from that fund to professional services and $5,000 to part-time wages to have some marketing materials refreshed. And then they would also like staff to be authorized to work with the local USDA representative to pursue matching funds for a revolving loan fund. The town of Alta Vista worked with USDA and put in $35,000 for their match and received $99,999 from USDA for the purpose of creating a small business revolving loan fund. Mm-hmm. The IDA, and they really wanted to make sure the council was brought into the loop on this because, of course, if we work with, this would be an expenditure of funds in the future. So they did not want me to proceed without making sure council was aware that it would be a future fund expenditure, though they're not asking for it yet until we work with USDA. And obviously, because the first one would be an appropriation, if council is supportive of that, that would be a roll call vote. All
right. So, first we have a motion to accept the recommendation from the IDA.
I'll make a motion.
A motion from Mr. Buncher. Have a second?
I'll second.
A second from Mr. Watts. Is there any discussion?
I do have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Carter, what is the IDA thinking for that professional services line? Is that for their marketing material, or are they looking to hire a website designer or something along those lines?
So the two components that we had really talked about doing was using the professional services line to work with the Lynchburg Regional Business Alliance.
Okay.
Because they have all of that expertise on staff,
mm-hmm.
and you know, paying them a little bit extra to specialize our materials.
Okay.
They have the data. They have all the expertise. We just don't, you know, there's kind of, this is the amount they would normally do for you as part mm-hmm. of your membership, and we want to kind of expand that box.
Okay.
And then what they would like me to do on the part-time wages is they actually would like to get a college intern who is doing marketing
mm-hmm.
to work on refreshing our social media presence, going out, taking pictures, posting, looking at some of those kinds of, that
awesome.
Side of the marketing piece and looking at it from a younger generation point of view. So really the professional services is that paper product that is the typical items we would hand out to prospects.
Mm-hmm.
The intern part is much more that social media portion and the internet side that we would work on.
Great, okay. Thank you.
Anything further? A further roll call. Ms. Wheaton?
No.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
Ms. Ogden?
Aye.
Ms. Clinton?
Aye.
And Mr. Butch?
Aye.
4-1-0. Next, matters from staff. Ms. Turnkey, do you have anything? Chief Schiffer, thank you very much. Mr. Thompson?
No, sir.
Fred, I remember. Becky? Mr. Garrett? Ms. Clinton? And we would ask Mr. Berry, but he's not here, so we'll just skip right over that. Matters from council, Ms. Wheaton? Mr. Watts?
I do have one.
Yes, sir.
As I recall, and correct me if I'm wrong, several, maybe even a couple of years ago, we decided to eliminate the Joint Committee on Cooperation because we have not met since the early to mid-90s.
Yes, I do.
As a committee.
Correct.
And we see, I still see the committee showing. I mean, do we have a reason we're keeping that since we're not been active in years?
When we did the organizational meeting at the beginning of this two-year term, we had talked about not being the reason that it wasn't brought together.
Mm-hmm.
With the understanding that it had not been convened in many, many years, the discussion that council had at that time was the idea of the town is not going to be the reason it fell apart.
But it fell apart years ago. Regardless whose fault it was.
Right.
That was the conversation at that time.
Yeah, I think we just kind of said, you know, it's there, and if everybody wants to come back to the table, we don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Right.
Reinvent the wheel. It's there. So
okay.
Right now, we just kind of let it.
Can I leave the door cracked open a little bit?
Huh?
Can I leave the door cracked open a little
yeah,
bit?
Yeah, that's it. Ms. Ogden?
No, sir.
And then Ms. Carter?
I do. First, Chief, thank you very much. We're very proud of your accomplishments and everything the officers are doing here in the town. I can't say enough about that. I do have a question for you, though.
Yeah.
Do you think in any near future, year, 2 years, 3 years, we would start going 24 hours around the clock? What does that take for to have one of our town officers active in the town premises at night? And I'll tell you why I'm asking. Because of that crash that happened on Main Street.
Yeah.
I know that it was kind of precarious and it took a while for people to respond. And I would just hate for something to happen in our town limits if we don't have someone on duty. I'm just curious what we're looking
at.
I
mean, yeah, you got to look at manpower.
Right.
Is it feasible? I don't think we have enough calls to justify having an officer that 5 hour period.
Okay.
You would want to have a 24 hour coverage from a department, but I mean, the sheriff's department takes that 5 hour block for us. And should have someone on the north end at all times. That's how they have the north end unit, and they have this number of guys on the south end unit. Getting back to our calls this year, I mean, just we answered. I don't remember the number numbers. It's like maybe 284 calls that assisted other agencies, and of course that's state police and EMS. Not so much, but most of those calls are us handling the county calls.
Sure.
And we go out in the county a lot.
Yeah.
And this system on a lot of calls. I could go back and do some research, but I don't feel like there was a whole lot of calls that were recorded that time frame from 2 o'clock till 7 in the morning.
Okay.
That's something I can check into.
I was asked by a citizen because of this event, so I said, well, you know, I don't know. I'll ask Chief and see where we're at. So that's the only reason why I'm bringing it up. Is it does it look like something that we may have to consider, you know, sooner than 5 years, sooner than 10 years? Would, you know, I know it's hard to predict that kind of thing.
I think too, having a 20, we don't have any businesses that are operating on a 24-hour basis.
Right.
Either. So if you had a Sheetz, if you had
a Walmart, those kinds of things, a hotel.
Sure.
That justifies having extra officers.
Nothing, you're on call.
We are.
And I think okay. on this one, Chief and I actually talked about this. They were not called until 3 hours or so after the accident happened.
Okay. So
that's
information I don't know. So when I'm asked a question, I don't.
So because I didn't know, and I didn't know about it, and I drove past it.
Yeah.
Just I was going down South End, and I drove past it. So I called and said, "Hey, what happened in the wreck? I see this light pole knocked over, this car flipped over, wires rolled up in it, you know." Yeah. Garland Avenue is probably having a fit trying to get out. Cliff's over there nodding his head. And so I just gave Chief a call and said, you know, just out of curiosity, you know, hey, what happened? And he told me, he said, you know, I was not notified until 3+ hours afterwards.
Okay.
And so that's something that needs to be addressed because he should have been notified right away.
Yeah.
And I think there was a miscommunication maybe. Something got dropped in that area.
I think what happened was, the best way I can describe it was, you know, we do get called out quite a bit after the officers go in. I've been called out, I don't know how many times, for certain things. I mean, if it's domestic or not. But what happened that evening was the accident happened between 3 and 3:30 in the morning. The North End officer had a FTO, which is an officer that was in training. He was FTOing a guy, and he wanted him to work the accident. So they took the accident. Oh, no big deal. You know, we got it. We took care of it. Wow. But the only thing they didn't really do,
they didn't notify us.
I think that's where it dropped.
Okay.
So they notified me at 6 o'clock in the morning, or 4 to 6 in the morning.
Right.
And I said, what do we need to do? What do you need? And we're already taken care of. Okay, thanks.
Ms. Gordon,
you help us, we help them.
Sure.
I had discussed this with the chief as well, much along the lines that the mayor did. And there's a couple of points that he brought up. Well, I'll bring one up myself. But they do a lot of calls, to answer a lot of the county calls, because frankly, I'm not throwing rocks, it's just the way life is. 90% of the time, the North End deputy is down south.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are the only thing you've got on the North End of the county.
Right.
So if the county steps in and occasionally does something like, you know, if okay, we're working together.
And
but
I
agree.
We have a very good working relationship with the guys across the street.
I realize that, and I'm not throwing rocks at them by saying that. They are overworked and understaffed.
Right.
I
agree. Right. Okay, thank you. I can report correctly now. Just didn't have enough information.
And the other part, just real briefly, just from another standpoint, the FTO part. When you're a field training officer and you have somebody with you that you're trying to train, when things like this come up, you kind of like to take them if you can take them, mm-hmm. because you may not get that opportunity again during the 6 weeks or whatever. And I mean, and this sounds crazy, but to be able to work an accident where a light pole was taken out, lines were down, and roadblock, communicate, you know, that's a pretty good thing to get. When you get your feet wet, to get your feet wet on.
And when you're an FTO, the state has set forth all these standards that you have to check the box on before they can get released.
Right.
Okay.
And
that's why I was kind of getting to that. So that's a box check right there, and it doesn't.
Multiple.
The only thing I think that would have been better if they would have, even though they'd have woke you up at 3:30 in the morning, but at least say, hey, we're handling it, but.
Tomorrow morning, you got this.
Yeah, right. Tomorrow morning, this is what you're going to have when you wake, when you really wake up.
Sure.
So,
Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Yes, ma'am.
Chief, could you just work with 911 and start collecting some of that data? In terms of how many calls are occurring in town during those hours.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Just,
I already planned on doing that.
I know, you and I have had some of the conversation, but instead of trying to go backwards, since it's not an immediate request,
right.
But maybe just work with 911 to start collecting it moving forward so we can just watch how those numbers are playing out over time.
Yeah.
And that way, if we see a trend changing, we can start to have that discussion and maybe be a little bit more prepared, you know, to be able to figure out what that would look like.
And I think the citizen was concerned because, of course, they're getting up and heading off to work, and they're seeing all of this, but not, no town representation. And I think they were like, well, what am I paying for? You know, they were just kind of connecting the dots. And so they're, I'm trying to field questions. And I was like, well, they don't work hours of the night. You know, and I'm trying to give them what I know. And so it's good to have that information that, you know, you're all really a team working together. And it's okay if you don't see a town officer right there. He could be somewhere else or, you know, something. So thank you.
And you know, hindsight is great, but it was one of these things that maybe about a 5:30 in the morning, a code red, whatever, mm-hmm. would have been appropriate because
yes,
of the
because of all
of the traffic.
Well,
the backup,
school buses, they didn't have it under control, and the lines are down. School buses couldn't pass. Right. It was pretty much a headache.
So, it's you know, hindsight's 20/20 all day long.
I think the big drop was the lack of communication between all the different departments and public safety and all of that. So.
Yeah, I would like to see them at least notified in the sheriff's office and say, hey, we're glad to handle it. And he says, okay. Then, okay.
Yeah.
Right. So,
that's what's happening.
I mean, you know, live and learn kind of a thing. It doesn't happen in town all the time, but, we'll glean from it what we can.
And I think this is the right time of the year to ask going forward because we're only 1 month into the new year. So our statistics will be, you know, pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, we all know what happened in January. Was that January or February? Whatever, it was close.
We have run a 24-hour shift in the past. Back before I took over, I worked a number of them. But the thing is, was we were less staff than he's got. We would have to put a person on that shift for 2 weeks straight. Ooh. And they weren't able to work every day. So you had to stagger your days when you didn't have somebody out there, so you'd throw people off. But also at that time, we had Food Line was staying open 24/7, and so was Farbills.
Wow.
Well, the convenience store.
Yeah.
I can't recall maybe two calls the entire time. But then again, you're talking about, you're not comparing apples to apples because you're in 2020 now. And that was.
And that's, it's like Chief said, that was the justification. We have a guy out here that might work. And I've actually seen it when we used to work midnights in Amherst County. I would go 7 days of my straight midnights and never get a call.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
so.
We want it that way.
Yeah, we do want it that way, but I mean, as far as justification,
you
got that guy out there. And he's,
sure.
But it would be nice to get a current count, like Ms. Cardinal.
Right,
yeah.
The current count.
Yeah.
So we'll have that. So.
All right. Perfect.
Ms. Bunch. All right. The one thing that I do want to say and then is going to be directed again at you, Chief, with the education and the training that you're giving your officers. One thing years ago that the town of Amherst Police Department was known for was a four-man department with probably the best trained departments around. We had forensic guys. There was some general instructor, there was some fireman instructors in a four-man department, and they were known. The town of Amherst Police Department, I would travel all over the state, and they'd ask where I was from, and I would tell them, and the town of Amherst Police Department was known, because everybody said, you're such a small department, but it is so educated with general instructors, firearms instructors, forensic academy.
That's a fact.
People just thought it was great that a small department took good care of their men, and their men showed, men and women, showed so much, for the town. So I want to commend you for this and your guys, especially your guys, because I know 3 years ago that was one thing that I had expressed to Mr. Hobbs when he was here, that I wanted the town to get back. I wanted the police department to get back to that because, it wasn't a lot of guys had lost their certification, and as the new people came in, they were not getting their certification.
That's your future.
So, well, it is, and it's a future of today. And so I wanted to commend you and all of your workers on that. I think that is great. And that's going a long ways to getting us back.
I think you're spot on, man.
And people gonna recognize it, and that And the other good thing about it, when people recognize it, the help comes. And, you know, when you start submitting things like Ryan going for his interview for Forensic Academy, and when he comes back, we'll have him to explain, because it's a very in-depth thing. You know, then you reach out, and we have such a, it becomes such a network, and everybody's willing to step up if you're willing to do something. So I just want to thank you for that.
Mayor's head's getting really big.
I know, we're going to stop it. Holly's going to straighten it out in a minute, so I ain't very good. So, okay, being that, I will entertain a motion. Oh, wait a minute. Any citizens' comments?
I came to do the sheet, there's someone signed up.
Oh, okay. No. So, what's that?
She usually just jumps right in.
We need to look for next month. So, based on that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. I have a motion from Ms. Ogden. A second from Ms. Carton. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Okay. 4-1-0.
You can't do that in a motion to adjourn. No, it's just done anyway. There's no saying that.
Huh?
Once there's a motion, it's done. The motion is in. You don't even have to take a vote.
You don't have to take a vote.
You don't take a vote for a motion to adjourn.